Blog Talk Radio. The December 30th, 2012 edition of Don't Let It Go Unheard. It's the podcast devoted to the discussion of news and current events from the perspective of Ayn Rand's philosophy, objectivism. I'm your host, Amy Peikoff, and today I have a few things that I want to talk about with you. First, a story out of Bloomberg that says, and this is a follow-up to the story that we talked about, I believe last week, about Gerard Depardieu, who decided he was going to leave France because of the confiscatory 75% top tax rate that they're about to institute there. This week we learned that there is a French court that says this top tax rate on the rich is unconstitutional. So we'll talk about that. The next story is something that I saw from Hot Air that Bosch Fosten gave to me. He's not here, by the way, today, unfortunately. The other thing that's a problem, I don't know if any of you have seen it, I cannot get this chat room to work. So I'm having a little bit of problem with my Blog Talk Radio studio here. I cannot get a chat room to work to save my life. So what I'm proposing that we do, first of all, you guys can call and talk to me. I'll give you the phone number in a second. But the other thing is maybe we're going to get onto the Facebook page and have you guys give me some comments there. But the other thing I like to talk about with the Hot Air story, there's a businessman, who I guess is also a former U.S. military officer, who has proposed that all of us should help pay down the national debt by donating a dollar from each of our paychecks. Then the third thing that I would like to talk to you about today is, appropriately enough, because this is the show the day before New Year's Eve, New Year's resolutions, purpose, and things like this. And I want to talk to you about your perspective. Have you made conscious efforts in your life to organize your life around a central purpose? Have you done this via a mechanism of New Year's resolutions in which you promise yourself that you're going to instill certain habits that will help you to better achieve your central purpose in life, etc.? So I do want to hear from you about these things, and it would be very helpful if I had a chat room so that those of you who are inclined to chat would be able to participate this way. The other way to participate in this show is to call 760-888-5817. Again, that's 760-888-5817. Particularly would love to hear from you today, given that both Bosch Fosten is not able to be here and the fact that I have no chat room. In fact, if I end up not hearing from people at a certain point, I may have to cut the show short. It's going to be terrible. I keep trying to launch this chat. I've refreshed my studio. I've done everything that I see myself as someone on a computer who can do what is known as level one tech support. I'm fairly good with my computer, and I can figure things out. Sometimes I figure things out a little bit late. Early on in this show, I've had some, way early on when I was on my other platform, I had some really big snafus. And I think one time I had a snafu on this platform because I hadn't set my Skype preferences when I dialed in or something. I usually think I'm pretty tech savvy here. I haven't seen anything that I can do to get this chat working. So if anybody has an idea, if you are better than level one tech support and you can call in and give me an idea, that's great too. Again, it's 760-888-5817. I just know to keep trying to launch this. I don't know if it's some sort of new flash update that maybe we don't have, but it seems like it should still work on the old flash technology. Not exactly sure. Not exactly sure so exactly what's going on here. Let's go ahead and start. So as I said, there's a French court this week that has said that the 75% tax rate on the rich is unconstitutional. The story that I'm looking at is from Bloomberg, December 29th written by Helene Fouquet and Alan Katz. It says President Francois Hollande's 75% millionaire tax is unconstitutional. Why? Because it fails to guarantee taxpayer equality, France's top court ruled today. It says the tax, one of Hollande's campaign promises, had become a focal point of discontent among entrepreneurs and other wealth creators, some of whom have quit French shores as a result. Of course, like Gerard Depardieu. Remember, Bosch had the great pun, depart adieu, which I thought was perfect. Go to fosten.blogspot.com to see the great graphic that Bosch did of that. But anyway, this French court, I guess, has decided maybe the members of the court are a little more fiscally conservative, so to speak, and maybe they don't like the fact that all of these productive and successful people are leaving France, so that could be something behind it. But it says the ruling comes as the president seeks to cut France's public deficit to 3% of gross domestic product next year from a projected 4.5% this year. See, this is the thing that's so fantastic, right? They talk about, oh, you know, we're going to tax the rich, and boy, we're really going to accomplish a lot. France, by putting this huge tax rate of 75% on the top most productive people in their country, right? They think this is a huge thing. They're going to get all this money. All they're doing is they're trimming a deficit by a third. The deficit was 4.5% of the gross domestic product. It's going to go down to 3%. So it's not like they're solving all their problems. And who knows what they're getting in exchange. They're losing people like Gerard Depardieu. Politically, they say this has an impact because it's a symbol for French public opinion, and it's considered abroad as an emblem of French tax excess, of French tax hell, said Dominique Barbet, a senior economist. In deficit terms, it's truly negligible. So that's good that people are seeing this as negligible. And it says the court said that Hollande's plan would have added extra levies of 18% on individual incomes of more than 1 million euros, which is $1.32 million, and regular income taxes and a 4% exceptional contribution for high earners would have been based on household income, an emailed statement shows. So two households with the same total revenue could end up paying different rates depending on how earnings are divided among members of the households with this top rate. So that's what they're saying. It's not going to be equal tax treatment. So how does the government respond? He says that the government takes note of it, and they're going to present a new proposal in line with the principles laid down by the court, which means they're going to have tax rates that are just as high, but they're going to make sure that everybody's treated equally dependent on how the incomes are distributed throughout the household. They're still going to try to make up this part of their deficit solely through taxing. Good luck, right? Because, I mean, first of all, if they do this, yes, people are leaving. Some of the top income earners are leaving. The other option, of course, is to shrug, to stay in France, and to just not be as productive. You know, you say, okay, everything that I earn above 1 million euros per year is going to be taxed at 75%. Why exert the extra effort to earn anything above 1 million euros when 3/4 of it is going to go away? So, you know, if you ended up getting yourself into a lifestyle where you need more than 1 million euros a year in order to maintain your lifestyle, then maybe you'll still exert the effort. But if not, maybe not. This idea that it's unconstitutional simply because they're treated unequally, I'm sure that any tax rate in France could undergo the same challenge, right? You could say if there was for, you know, the lower tax rate, suppose it's 50% for some lower tax rate. I'm sure there are households in which, depending on the way that the income is distributed among members of the household, the tax rate would treat different households unequally. So I think that this was just really a way for the French court to say, enough is enough. This is really too much. And there are people who are in favor of, you know, quote, taxing the rich. But even those people, and I think it was Will Smith, the actor in our country, who was saying, oh, yeah, I'm in favor of, you know, higher taxes on the rich. And then when he was told about this top 75% tax rate for the French, I think he said, God bless America, right? So for some people, even if they think that you should tax the rich more, they say, well, this is too much. To me, I see this as the French court saying, well, we draw the line here, this 75%, it's just too much. And, you know, like I said, the way that all of these constitutional arguments are made, you can make arguments on either side and probably still perhaps be upheld by a reasonable court. It's once you've given up that principle, once you have said that involuntary taxation is proper, right, that it's okay for the government to force you to pay money out of your paychecks, I think anything goes, you know, and it's where you draw the line. I have a phone call here. I'm going to go ahead and take it. Hi, who's this?
Hi, Amy. This is Debbie.
Debbie, have you had any luck with this silly chat room?
Yeah, I have. I've had times in the past when I couldn't get the sound to work right, but I had the chat room. This time I do not have a problem with the chat room or the sound. So you're
in my chat room and I'm not.
That's right. I'm in your chat room, but you're not.
This is terrible. How am I supposed to see my chat room? And everybody else can see my chat room. That's really crazy. I'm going to have to figure out a way maybe to get this going. So there, my chat room exists, and I can't see it.
That's right. There's some people in it. I think that maybe not a lot of people are able to get access to it because it's a smaller number than usual. So I don't know. The only solution I really have is to reload the page, and if that doesn't work, then I'm out of ideas.
I have an idea of why it happened, and I'm not sure how to cure it. Earlier today, I tried to go into the chat room on an iPad, and my guess is that I started up the chat room on the iPad, although I couldn't view it on the iPad because iPad doesn't have Flash. I maybe do it. I could maybe do it by closing Safari on my iPad. So this is the thing. Deborah, would you like to keep everyone entertained for a moment while I go grab my iPad? This is I don't know. This is like third world radio show today. But I need to run to the other room, grab my iPad, close Safari entirely on the iPad, and see if that's going to close down that chat. So just keep in mind, everybody, I'm going to try to actually close it down entirely and then maybe start it up again. So here I go. Deborah, you can go ahead and start telling me what you think about this 70.
Hello?
Yeah. Hear me?
Yeah, you got a little fuzzy there for a second. I think I'm good.
Okay, here I go. Off I go.
Okay. I read an article about this French court ruling, and I was really surprised, not surprised at all, but I was a little struck by the fact that they're openly admitting that this is supposedly not having any impact on the measure on the actual goal of reducing the deficit. Like, for instance, this guy Moscovici, I'm probably slaughtering the pronunciation, there's a quote in the Reuters story, a quote from him saying that the rejected measures represent 300 to 500 million euros. Our deficit-cutting path will not be affected. And then he goes on to say that they're going to try to resubmit a proposal to raise taxes on high incomes in 2013 and 2014. So basically he's saying it doesn't help us, it doesn't do any good at all, and it doesn't matter that it's not going to happen, but we're going to keep trying to do it. And it just seems like they're just brazenly admitting that that their real goal here has nothing to do with reducing the deficit. And it's actually about just punishing the people who are high earners. And it even says in this same article that that there was an ideological basis for this decision. So, and it says twice in the article that they just brazenly admit that it's not going to have any impact on the deficit one way or the other. So, and then it says later on that, hello?
No, I'm here. So I was going to ask you to go ahead and tell me the article because I was running in the other room when you were telling me which article you were reading from.
Yeah, sure. It's from Reuters. It's okay. I can post a link to the chat room, which may or may not be of any help to you. It says the French court rejects 75% millionaires tax. That's the headline, and it's in Reuters. But it's really just a brazenly honest article about what their intention is. And it looks like they have some kind of an impotent conservative party, a lot like we do, that is opposing this thing, this measure, but not effectively, and they're not really getting anything done. So I just, you know, I think that the situation in France is really comparable to what's going on here.
So as I understand it, the article that you're reading says that the impact on the deficit is even less than what I'm reading here in Bloomberg.
Well, they don't give a numerical value, like as a percentage of the deficit. It just says it's 300 to 500 million euros, whatever that is, as a percent of their deficit. But they explicitly say in two places that it's going to that the difference in terms of their budget is going to be negligible. So they're just shrugging it off and saying, "Oh, it's not going to make a difference. We can still reduce our deficit, but we just really want to tax the rich."
You know, I was watching Chris Wallace's show this morning on Fox. Do you ever watch that?
No. No, I don't.
It was a pretty unique show because they had on the show both Dianne Feinstein and Lindsey Graham, and they and Chris Wallace walked them through a number of topics. One of them, of course, was the fiscal cliff and what are they going to do and what's going to be the cutoff for the top tax rate where, you know, where they're going to let the Bush tax cuts expire for people above what level of income. And it was hysterical because, you know, Lindsey Graham, he says, "Oh, well, I'm going to hold out for $400,000 or $500,000 a year because I think, you know, we can get that now." And then, you know, and the whole idea was, what impact would any of this even have on the deficit anyway if they went ahead and got the tax hikes on the so-called rich? But Feinstein, when Wallace turns to her and asks her, you know, "Well, so what level do you think it should be? You know, maybe it should be 400,000, 500,000, whatever." She says, "Well, the president ran on tax increases for people above $250,000, so that's what it should be." And it's just, I mean, it's just arbitrary in their mind. They're just, you know, and the way that Greg Gutfeld has been putting it recently is that Obama seems obsessed with raising taxes on the rich. He just seems obsessed with it. And so, you know, he's not going to give up until he gets his tax increase, and that's all there is to it. It looks like the Republicans are going to cave and give some kind of deal. I don't know if it's going to be $250,000, but whatever it is, it's going to have negligible effect on the debt or the deficit. I mean, you know, not even on the deficit, so of course not on the debt.
Right. Well, actually, it might have an effect on the deficit and the debt in the sense that it would raise the deficit and the debt. You know, I mean, depending on how this affects the higher earners, it's those people who are ultimately responsible, you know, for the level of productivity that we have.
Yeah, I mean, they employ everybody else. So, I mean, you know, what's going to go on? So, Deborah, everything that I'm trying to do here with the chat room is failing. And so I was going to wonder whether you could tell me who is saying what in my chat room.
You bet. I do have Robert NYC who told you he can, let me scroll up, he can post, copy and send you the Facebook quotes, or sorry, send you the chat room quotes via Facebook. He's offering to do that. Yeah, so here it is. "Debbie, tell Amy I can copy and paste and send her a Facebook message." So he can do that. I guess it won't probably come in real time, but let's see. Let's see what else we got. Stephanie Bond wants to know how they concluded that the tax rate is unconstitutional.
How they concluded it. So they said that it was because people with households in which the same income was earned were treated unequally under the current tax rules because it depends how incomes are distributed among people in the household. And that's how it can be here, right? You know how that depending on how they set up the tax brackets, if people are married, there's a penalty for being married and having a certain distribution of income between the two spouses. You've heard that before, right, Deborah?
Yes.
Yeah. So I think it's the same sort of thing. So that the way that they had it set up, there were going to be certain households in France where the same income was being earned, but they would have a different impact in terms of overall tax rates for the household. Why exactly that is, who knows? But it's, you know, it's an easy tweak to fix, and I'm sure that you could make the same argument about some of the lower tax rates, but people just haven't challenged some of the lower tax rates because this is the worst, most outrageous tax rate that had ever been proposed there. You know, it's just kind of arbitrary. Again, you know, they all unfortunately of our Western countries are mixed economy sort of, you know, democracies, so to speak, because they are some sort of form of democracy now where people are just able to vote and have some majority have an impact on the minority. They have decided that we can go ahead and force people to pay money out of their paychecks. It's okay to forcibly take money from you. And once you do that, everything else, I think, is kind of arbitrary. Where do you draw the line? You know, they say they want to draw the line before the 75%. That's what the court says today, but good luck. Good luck with that.
Right. And it sounds like they just got out on a technicality and not on any kind of fundamental principle. Like the court said, that that's just too much and you can't take that. It's just something, some nuance about how the tax is distributed.
Yeah, definitely. So, I mean, it's definitely pretty bogus. So anything else there in the chat room on this topic, Deborah?
We've got Robert Archer, who says the French are focused on achieving equality of misery, not protection of rights, just like our own government. I agree with that. Let's see what else. They're focused on bogus rights, not genuine ones. Quote, unquote, rights to education, health, housing, etc. And that's from Stephanie.
Right. And anything else?
Robert NYC says, liberty, not equality, yes. Fraternity, equally poor.
kind of brothers in the poverty house.
Yeah.
That's basically what it is. Well, what I'm going to do is I'm going to go ahead and be logged into Facebook on the computer that I'm on. And then if he wants to go ahead and continue to send me the comments there, that's fine too. What I'm going to go ahead and do then, Deborah, is I'm going to go on to the next story and come back to you for some comments if you want to hang on. You want to do that?
Sure. Yes.
Excellent. Okay, thanks very much for calling in, saving me today, Deborah. I can't believe this this day of technology. I don't know. Maybe what I need to do is have a New Year's resolution that has something to do with getting the technology that has always worked, working better, more in advance. So here goes Robert. I've got Robert here on Facebook, and he tells me, let's see, let me get scroll down here. Let's see, where is it? Okay, yeah, chat room's up for some of us, and he's going to call in when we get to New Year's resolutions. Excellent, I can use the help at that point. Okay, so let's talk about the next story. Oh, no, get on. Actually, Bosch came in here, so Bosch is here to save me. I guess he must have heard that I was a damsel in distress over here.
Well, I was listening, so.
Okay,
so. Okay, now.
It's like sleep feedback.
That's kind of weird. I think we need you. Okay. He had been listening by phone. Now we've got no feedback. Boy, this is a third world country. I am ending 2012, which is not a great year because Obama was reelected anyway.
Yeah.
But we're ending it with stinker.
Yeah.
Now, you remember we watched Red Eye. We watched the last episode of Red Eye.
Wow, it stunk.
And it was not very good.
It was very bad.
Although they said they're doing a New Year's Eve one, so they have a chance to make it up before the end of 2012.
The jokes were bad. There was no chemistry between the guests, the hosts. I mean, it was just really, I don't know what will happen.
So
way, speaking of Greg Gutfeld, he referred to the Obama as Ahab and the rich as the whale, you know, Moby Dick. Remember that?
Like exactly.
To get them.
Exactly.
You
but I think the whole point is that it's making him be irrational as well.
Oh, yeah. And one thing also today, he just basically said on Meet the Press, I didn't see it. I can't stand to watch him. But someone wrote, I think, on Breitbart, and I'm not 100% sure because sometimes they're a little off with the stories, but he suggests that the Chicago way of gun control should be the national way. And that to me just proves again, once again, he's an absolute nihilist, because there are more murders in Chicago, I think, than anywhere else in the country. So.
Yeah, they did talk this morning on that show with Chris Wallace about gun control, and it appears that Dianne Feinstein is going to have her dream that she's going to go ahead and propose this bill that she's wanted to propose for over a year. It's not like the Newtown, Connecticut massacre had anything to do with her wanting to propose a renewal and a so-called strengthening of the so-called assault weapons ban. They want to use this opportunity to go ahead and shove this through.
And for the record, she used to carry a gun, and sure. Chris Wallace and Lindsey Graham didn't mention it on the show for some reason.
Right.
Or she still does carry a gun.
Second story. Let's go on. There's a story, like I said, that Bosch sent this to me a few days ago, and it was posted on Hot Air on December 28th by Ala Pundit. It's a video. A man appeared on Fox News. He is a former businessman and also a U.S. Army officer. And he says that everybody should pay down the national debt by donating a dollar from each paycheck. And Ala Pundit says it as follows. He says, via Mediate, I don't know. This is the saddest cable news segment that you'll see today. The guy's intentions are obviously good, but come on. He says, if you're generous with the numbers here, assume that every American, infants included, is fully employed and receiving a weekly check. You're looking at raising something like $16 billion a year, which would offset a debt that has grown since 2007 at a rate of almost $4 billion per day. So he's got something in the plan about big business donating a dollar for each transaction over $10. He says, I don't know how to guesstimate the revenue from that, but it would be enough of a hit to retailers and financial firms that there's no way they comply without being compelled by government. And if they were compelled, economic growth might slow to the point that we'd end up losing tax revenue, et cetera. So this is just really funny. How many of you, if I said to you right now, donate a dollar from each of your paychecks and help pay down the national debt, how many of you would do it? I really wonder. Let's see if Robert can get to me with a Facebook message telling me how many people in the chat room have volunteered to give a dollar from each of their paychecks to go ahead and pay down the national debt. The funny thing that I love about this plan is that it really is arbitrary in the sense that it depends on how often you get a paycheck. Some people are paid only once per month. Some people are paid once per week. And so the people who get paid once per week, they're supposed to pay more of the national debt than the people who get paid only once a month. I'm not exactly sure how this corresponds, but my instinct just based on my limited knowledge and life experience is that people who are paid weekly make less money than people who are paid monthly. I'm not exactly sure that that's true, but that's been, at least in the times that I was making less, I was paid weekly or biweekly. And then sometimes I was paid monthly if I was making more money. So how is it that the people who are making less money are going to put more towards the national debt? That doesn't make any sense either. But the biggest thing that is wrong with this silly proposal is not even the math, right? Because, the practical math of it obviously doesn't work out. It is going to, if people keep throwing their money at this debt, that's going to be money that they don't spend on other things to create wealth within the economy. But it's the fact that it's immoral. It is completely immoral. So, for example, one thing I can do, even though I don't have a chat room, is I can go to my own page on Facebook. And again, you can actually subscribe to me on Facebook. You can follow me there, all the publicly available posts that I put on my personal wall on Facebook. So Amy Peacock on Facebook. Earlier today, or actually not very long ago, when I posted the topics for this show, I got this response from someone named Christoph. As far as I know, there are a lot of consonants in there, so you can go and check it out and try to pronounce his name better. He says, I will donate $1 to help pay down the national debt for every $2 in everyone's government benefits, including mine, that they eliminate. In other words, he says, if federal government spending goes down by $630 million per month, He says, actually goes down, not reduced in relation to past promises of increases. He says, I hereby promise to donate $1 to help pay down national debt in every month that this happens. Now, I clicked like once on that. I would love to click like a million times on that because this is exactly the point. It would be, and I've said this in the past, it would be immoral. I think it would be immoral. So it's not just impractical. It's not just silly. It would be immoral for people to send money in, any extra money above what you are forced to pay, to pay down any national debt, unless or until there is in place a plan that is at least a substantial step on the road towards reining in government spending, and more importantly, not just the amount spent, but what is it spent on? Are we going to have a serious plan towards phasing government out of doing the things that it should not be doing that are not part of its proper purpose? And what Khrushchev here in the chat room is saying is he's saying that he'll do it only when the government is committed to substantial real cuts. Not the so-called phony cuts where they just reduce the rate of increase in spending, blah, 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 blah. We've heard about this forever. But he's saying, I want to see some real action before I would give any money above and beyond what the government is compelling me to spend. And that's exactly what I've been saying for a long time. Now, this is great because Robert is giving me the lowdown from the chat room. And he is telling me also what he thinks in the process. He says, what are they counting on? They're counting on altruism. The government needs it. We are obligated to provide it. Yeah, and that's the thing. And it was funny because, you know, I saw a little bit of the video itself. I could hardly stand to watch the guy. Mm-hmm. But the host who was quizzing this man who decided he was going to do this, I'm trying to see if I can get I don't even have his name in here, unfortunately. But the host said, oh, it's only $16 a year? Oh, I'm willing to do that. That's no problem. You know, and you think, okay, well, what is this little $16 that you're asking me? Because this guy's only asking you to do it for 4 months a year. So if you have four paychecks a month for 4 months, it's only $16. So you just send the $16 in. It's only $16. No big deal. You know, you spend that on three trips to Starbucks or whatever. You know, who cares? But it is the principle of the thing. And of course, you know, the practicality doesn't work out as Ala Pundit points out. But the biggest thing is that it's immoral. It is immoral. I don't care if you have extra money lying around. You give that money to a worthy cause. Somebody who is in need, someone who got a horrible disease, their house burned down, tornado hit their house, whatever, you give it to them. Do not give it to this out of control government. You know, it's like enabling a drug addict. Robert Archer in the chat room says this would give more money to the rights violators. And Stephanie says there is no cure but to cut spending and entitlements. Would not donate a dollar. And Debbie says, like I said, I already quote unquote donate way too much for my paychecks at the point of a gun. Yes. Oh, what is his name? Scott Susie is his name. Okay, yeah, yeah. And if they don't...
That's a businessman.
Yeah, he's the businessman. I mean, you feel so bad for him because he's so eager and he's so well-meaning. And it is... The national debt is a horrible problem. You know, babies who are born today are born, what? Is it 250,000 or 50,000 in debt? I can't remember which. But, I mean, they're born in debt because of this out-of-control spending by our government. And... This guy's, you know, very eager, you know, very innocent solution is he says, oh, let's just donate a dollar out of every paycheck and that'll do it. Let's go ahead and briefly to Debbie and see if she's got anything more live to contribute here. Debbie, anything else on this topic?
Yeah, you know, that's just, it's like giving drug money to an addict. I mean, that's really the way I see it. If we were to voluntarily give this money to pay down the debt, they wouldn't pay down the debt with it, even if we did do it. And even if that were the case, it would still be immoral because of the way that the government is operating now. But they wouldn't pay down the debt. They just use it to expand the government more because that's what they do. You know, I mean, that's why I love this Khrushchev. Is that what his name is? His idea?
Huh? I thought it was perfect.
Yeah, because if they were actually trying, you know, if you can imagine that we really reverse course and we're moving in the direction of a free society, and then we've got this debt burden, but our government's not a threat anymore, it's trying to sort of rehabilitate itself, so to speak. Well, then I can see how it would be in my self-interest to donate to paying down the debt. But now it's not going to go to anything good.
Right. If we were literally on a path, if we were rock solid on a path to phasing out all the improper government programs, and I was convinced that that was, you know, we were steadily on that course. It wasn't just a fluke, and we were going on it. And then I would feel patriotic, and I would feel like I want to send in money to try to pay down the debt, make a better future for our children and grandchildren, blah, 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 right? That would actually mean something to me. But right now, there's no way that we're going to enable this drug addict, so to speak. And this is funny. This reminds me of something else that I saw on the show this morning when, you know, Feinstein and Lindsey Graham and Chris Wallace were talking about the amount of money that actually is going to be generated by increasing the taxes only on the so-called rich and, you know, letting the Bush tax cuts persist for people under $250,000, $400,000, whatever, what have you. I think they were saying it was something like $600 billion. Is that right? Do you remember? Were you listening? I think it was something like $600 billion that I heard that they were going to get. And Lindsey Graham said, I mean, it was so funny, because I think Bosch also watched the look on the faces, right? He said, well, if it was all going to go to offset the deficit, if. And Feinstein kind of had this look like she knew that, yeah, they're going to increase taxes, but it's not like it's even going to offset our deficit. And why is this? Because as we've heard in the past, some of the proposals that Obama has put, I think he's only put maybe a couple of proposals, yeah, but I think one of the first ones that he had more increases in spending than the so-called increases in revenue that they expected by increasing taxes on people earning more than $250,000.
You know, this whole fiscal cliff notes, I mean, to break it down, it's basically we want to continue doing what we've been doing a lot, but do it a lot worse, and we want to pretend that we want to stop it. You know, we need to pretend that we want to stop it, guys. Come on. So let's just get together and find a way to make that happen, to let the Americans know that we're trying to do something. We just might fail. I mean, they can fix it because they're the ones who've broken it. I mean, these guys are the responsible party, both parties.
I agree, Bosch, that it's just a big fraud. That's all it is. They're not even making a good faith attempt. You're definitely right.
Both spent like crazy, you know, and the Republicans did nothing except they said, okay, here's a purse, do whatever you want. And Obama just put it on absolute steroids. So it's the same crap going on and on. And their whole thing is to pretend they're doing something. That's what it is. Pretend.
Now, this is great. I hear that Tim Peck in the chat room is actually just posting the comment that I just read from my page on Facebook. So that's great that you can see it there. Anybody can go to my Facebook page and see these things as well, because again, these are part of public posts. Stephanie in the chat room says that in terms of politicians cutting spending, they will cut across the board, which means that courts and police are going to be cut at the same rate. Right. Now, you know, with the sequestration that's coming up, the money that might be cut is going to be disproportionately out of the military. So that's huge.
Yeah, the essential things can go, but the unimportant things, the welfare state, that must stay. I mean, that has to stay.
Now, the next comment, I'm not sure if it's from Stephanie or from Robert, so Robert can correct me one way or the other. They say, let's send this Scott Susie, whatever his name is, a copy of Atlas Shrugged and tell him that is a better idea than the one he had.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, I mean, again, pay your taxes. Why? Because if you don't, you're going to go to jail and you're not going to be a very good person who can influence the culture from within if you're in jail. It will be a little hard to do that. If we want to improve this culture, you have to actually stay within the law. But at the same time, don't pay any more than they are forcing to you at gunpoint. So it was Robert who said that he told him to go ahead and get Atlas Shrugged. Yeah, I think that would be a much better way to go. But yeah, I mean, these politicians know that when they get their hands on more money, the last thing that they're going to do is use it to pay off existing spending. They've always got their minds on more, 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 and more. Any last word on this topic, Deborah? We need to go on to New Year's resolutions.
Well, sure. I'd love it if someone would go on the record and say at what point they have enough. I mean, I know the actual answer is that that's never going to happen. I mean, there's no amount of money we could ever give them that it would be they wouldn't want more because their purpose is to destroy. But they never can say that. They can never say, well, if you just would give us X number of dollars, then that will suit our needs and we won't need any more. It's just they always want more.
Definitely. And that's the thing. And all we would be doing is enabling a drug addict, unfortunately. And it's kind of sad that you went ahead and had also the media, you know, getting behind this guy. I mean, people should immediately question at least the practicality of a plan like this, but if not the morality. And that's one thing that I haven't really heard anybody else say. I don't know if you've heard anybody else say this, Deborah, but I mean, it just occurred to me sometime earlier this year that this is immoral. It is actually immoral. It's not just impractical, it's immoral. And none of us who believe in a government who should be confined to its proper functions of police, court, and military, none of us should be contributing to this. So with that, let's go ahead and talk about something a little more appropriate for the new year. So, Deborah, I'm curious because you strike me as someone who is very accomplished. And you have said before, I think I remember when we were talking about the topic of distractions. Remember there was the article that I read, I think it was a couple weeks ago, and the headline was something like why you won't finish reading this article. And it was why people have such short attention spans because they are constantly being interrupted by their email, their social media, their texts, what have you, that they don't get productive work done. And you had said, I believe, that you did not check any social media all day. And I can't remember what you said about email. Is that right?
That's right. I never open my personal email or my social networks when I'm at work. And you know, it does have to be an all or nothing sort of thing, I think, because I don't even think about that. It doesn't occur to me because I'm just totally focused at work. But once that distraction happens, it's kind of like opening the floodgate and then you keep going back. So I find that it works really well.
Now, did you have to instill this habit in yourself at a certain point or not?
Yes, I did. At my last job, I did not have this system in place, and I would occasionally check it, and it didn't help that it was this green job that I've written an article about, and I was miserable there. So I'm sure that's part of the reason why I was seeking out these distractions. But, when I started this new job, I just, from day one, set this as a policy and stuck with it.
So that's excellent. And was it hard for you at first to do it, or was this job so exciting and all-encompassing in terms of your attention that it was no problem?
Yes, it was the second thing you said, exciting and all-encompassing, and I get angry if anyone interrupts me like with anything that's not completely essential because I love what I do and I'm completely focused on it and I can't even stand like a few minutes of small talk or something.
So this was fairly effortless for you, which is excellent. That's really how it should be. For some people, it's not as effortless at that. There might be certain aspects of people's jobs that are a little bit harder to stay focused on, and then there are temptations for their minds to wander. There's a variety of reasons, and I'm not a psychologist. I don't even want to get into them. But the things that I wanted to talk about today were starting and sticking with habits like this and the various ways that people try to do it, and something that has come to my attention that might help people, so I can pass some word along. And the other thing is actually the broader point of putting your mind around a central purpose and putting all of your efforts into a central purpose. So here's another question for you, Deborah. Now, obviously, the green job that you had was probably not allowing you to direct your efforts according to the central purpose. How would you define, I mean, this is putting you really on the spot. Do you have an explicit statement in your mind about what your central purpose is in your life?
Well, I can pretty easily off the top of my head say professionally that what it is. I mean, I have some really specific goals in mind, and I mean, in the near term, I have a promotion in mind that I want to get this year, and I don't know. I guess I don't know how to articulate the central purpose of my life. I just, I mean,
here, okay,
the things that I
let me.
I'm sorry.
Well, I'm putting you on the spot here, so I feel bad about that. But you are an engineer, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I would say, I mean, we could say your central purpose abstractly would be to exercise your mind and produce the material values that you need for your life in the field of engineering.
Well, you could definitely say that abstractly. I mean, I even have some more specific things in mind, but yes, that's definitely the case.
So I mean, that's the kind of thing that I have in mind. There are people who haven't necessarily found the field in which they want to exercise their mind yet, and the way that they can do that productively in a way that's going to, in particular, earn their money so that they can support themselves. So there are some people that have to earn their money doing one thing, and then yet they see their central purpose as doing other things in their lives. But, you know, that is one big area in which some people either need to focus or they have some issues. And then the other thing is, how do we align all of our efforts in the direction that's dictated by the purpose that we believe we have set for ourselves? And what sort of obstacles do they have that are getting in the way of doing that? And a lot of that is the subject of New Year's resolutions, right? Some people, Deborah, I mean, I'm very excited for you that you had no trouble instilling that new habit of not checking any social media or personal email while you're at work. I love that. I'm glad you had no trouble, but there are people who have a lot of trouble instilling habits like this. It might be because they haven't had the change in work setting. I think a change in work setting could very much, you know, give you that clean break that you need to instill new work habits like that. But some people, they don't want to leave their existing job. They have a decent job, but they just want to make sure that their efforts throughout their work days are more in line with their productive purpose and not on these time wasters, right? I mean, that's, you know, a purpose is supposed to tell us what things we should be spending our time on in order to be the most productive. So that's the kind of thing that is the subject of New Year's resolutions all the time. Do you have anything yourself, and you can share it or not share it, you could just say yes or no if it's something that you think you could do better in the coming year that would make you a more productive person in line with your central purpose? Are you pretty happy with your constellation of habits right now?
I'm happy with it in terms of work. I mean, there are certain things that I struggle with more in my personal life, but as far as work is concerned, I think that I'm always trying to find ways to improve. But there's nothing specifically that I'm kind of worried about for the next, you know, or focused on for the next year. It's just I'm always trying to look for ways that I can improve myself.
Excellent. But there's, yeah, nothing you've identified explicitly in the realm of work. Now, you know, here's the thing. There are people, I think Tony Schwartz is one of the self-improvement authors among them, who would say that a lot of the personal type goals where people say, oh, I want to get more sleep, I want to have a little bit of a better diet, I want to maybe even have better friendships with people, you know, reach out and have quality interactions with friends who count to me, that all of these things, if you are focusing on them properly, could enhance your productivity at work as well. I mean, you know, one thing about purpose is your productive purpose is the central focus of your life. Everything else is going to support it in some way or another. It's going to be integrated around that. So I don't know necessarily that I draw a hard line between, you know, so-called personal and work, although some things definitely seem more work-related than others. But one thing I was going to ask you, Deborah, has it come to your attention that Alex Epstein, who is the head of the Center for Industrial Progress, that he is going to conduct a webinar on how to instill habits and make them really stick?
Yeah, I'm going to participate in that, definitely.
Yeah. As a matter of fact, I found out just pretty much at the last minute that today he was holding some sort of a dress rehearsal, and he invited people to go ahead and join exactly at the time of my show, which could be why we're seeing the chat room not so populated, even though I can't even get to it anyway. Again, people, I can't get to the chat room. I don't. If you've tuned in late and you entered the chat room late, I hope that Robert is keeping people apprised there that he's giving me comments from the chat room. Let's see here. Yeah, let's see. Stephanie's got a question in the chat room. But, yeah, I can't see what's going on in the chat room. But, yeah, Alex Epstein tomorrow is doing the actual full intended seminar. It's a one-hour seminar on habit, on how it is that you can not just rely on willpower to make a habit stick, but that you can do something a whole lot easier. And I ended up getting a preview of this because he had the deal that he said, look, if you refer, I think, 5 people to my, you know, my webinar, my seminar, then I will go ahead and send you this little preview half-hour recording that I did on execution. And I went ahead and did it and listened to it. And as I understand it, what he's saying that you need to do, if you have certain habits that you know will help you succeed and that you need help instilling, you know what the answer is? You know how to do it?
How?
What you need to do is you need to have somebody who is either a coach, maybe just a friend, check in with you every day and ask you, say, 2 or 3 questions. And these questions are somehow related to you executing these habits according to what you think you need to do. So it is external human accountability that he's counting on and he's advocating. Now, he has certain ways that you would phrase the questions. He thinks that in each of these little meeting / phone calls that you would have with somebody else, that you should, he had something like, you know, one was a question that did have an obligation, one that didn't have an obligation, but I think just had you focus on something. He has a lot more in mind. So there's more to it than what I'm saying here, but that's the essence of it. And the interesting thing, and the thing I'm looking forward to hearing him answer, is why does it have to be another human being? Versus, you know, there's technology now. Someone posted in the event. By the way, if people are interested in this, it's, you just look up Alex Epstein, A-L-E-X, and then the last name is spelled E-P-S-T-E-I-N, Alex Epstein. And if you go to his page on Facebook, he's made a public event. This is a public event. You can join. It's called Resolution Revolution. You can listen between 4 and 5 Pacific time tomorrow. That is between 7 and 8 p.m. East Coast time. It is free. I'm sure he might be selling some sort of coaching services or something. That's what I'm gathering. I mean, either that or he's just trying to make the world a better place. Because if you remember what Yaron Brooks said, when he came on the show, he said, how is it that we can help to spread the correct philosophy in the culture? It is for each of us who hold that philosophy to go out there and be productive and enjoy ourselves, just live our lives to the best that we can. And just, I mean, do what you want to do. Don't say, oh, well, I have to write letters to the editor, even if I hate doing that. You do the things that you enjoy that are part of your central purpose. Do them well. And people will take note and they'll say, gee, I wonder what's behind that guy. Oh, he's one of those objectivists. Boy, that's cool. So, you know, maybe part of Alex's thing is he wants to see all the people who are like-minded go out there and just really achieve their goals. But I assume he's got something else going on, and I assume that he might have some sort of a coaching thing in mind. I don't know. I honestly don't know. I don't work with Alex. I'm literally telling you all about this. Why? Because it's free, and second, because it might contribute something to your life that might help make your life better. And yeah, part of the purpose of this show is to help preserve the American sense of life, which I assume if you are more productive and enjoying your life more throughout the coming year, that's going to help your sense of life.
And like objectivism, you know, it's all about taking ideas seriously. His seminar would be about taking resolutions seriously, because they're not really, I mean, in a lot of ways, they're not taking that seriously. People break them within the first month or two.
And Alex thinks it's simply because people rely too much on willpower and that you need this external accountability.
I must do this, you know.
But the thing that he rejected as an option was something that someone posted in the event you know, the little event thing on Facebook, someone posted a website called AskMeEvery.com. AskMeEvery.com. And all you do is you put in the little question box some question that you want the website to ask you every day, and then it would email you with that question. Why would that not work? Why would having a computer ask you the question not work like it would be, you know, accountability from somebody else?
You're on the spot. It's a friend of yours, someone you admire. I mean, it does give you a little more pressure.
It's got to be somebody that you care about for sure, right? Yeah, you know, it can't be some sort of weird Peter Keating, that it could be anybody, right? But anyway, it's going to be interesting to hear him say about that. So I would say go ahead and do that. The other thing that I would recommend to people that is also free, okay, I'm not selling stuff to people, and I have no ties to these people. These are just, you know, people that I'm enthusiastic about. David Allen, Getting Things Done, they are offering on January 11th in the late morning, I believe it's something like 10 or 11 Pacific Coast time, a free public webinar. And the title of it is something like Achieving Wild Success in 2013. You can join that for free. So that's something else. And then I'm going to tell you one other thing that will cost you 99 cents. I don't get any of it, but I will get the pleasure of referring you to something that I like. If you go to the Ayn Rand bookstore, there is a lecture by Tara Smith, and it is on purpose, on the value of purpose. And it's a one-hour lecture, I think, with a half-an-hour question period. And she has a lot of good discussion about the value of purpose, about centering your life around a central purpose, about can you have more than one purpose in your life, even if they don't directly contradict one another? Can you have two parallel purposes? She also talks about specific questions in terms of implementing, you know, directing your life according to that central purpose. She is very excellent at chewing what it actually means to live by the objectivist philosophy. Right. I find her very inspiring. And you can listen to that lecture for 99 cents. So if you want a tremendous boost into, you know, centering your life and directing your life according to your central purpose in the new year, I would recommend those trio of things. There are probably other things out there that you could listen to as well. Tara Smith isn't going to be selling you anything in particular during hers. I imagine that the David Allen lecture might include a little bit of a, you know, sales pitch in terms of actually getting you to read the book, Getting Things Done, or maybe getting you involved to go to a seminar and stuff. Some of that is valuable, some not. Feel free to ask me questions. But those are my suggestions. Do you do any variety of GTD, Deborah?
I'm sorry, GTD? I guess not, because I don't know what that means. Okay.
Well, let me. I'll do a real quick hash on it here, and then I've got actually another quick caller.
Well, so one thing,
and I think it's Robert who wants to talk about a resolution, so I really do need to pick it up. Yeah, go ahead.
If you want to watch TV without wasting time, you got to watch the show Sherlock. You got to watch the show. I mean, it's really, really good, especially the first and the third episode of season two.
Yeah, something I'd like to talk about next week is Sherlock. And also Les Miserables, because I'm going to be seeing that. So it'd be nice to talk about those next week on the show. Let me go ahead. Okay, GTD, very quickly, Deborah. GTD says, don't keep everything about your obligations into your head. It's getting things done. Yeah, they say, but the way to get things done more efficiently is to get things out of your head into a trusted system that you know you will check regularly, so that at the time that you're working, you can focus on your work. Robert, is that you?
Hi, Amy.
I want to give you the last word on resolutions.
Sure. Well, I was going to say GTD as well. I subscribed to that for many years. And what I do is, I think you guys are on my list, but every year I write an annual report in which I summarize the year, and I write down 10 top 10 achievements and then my top 10 goals for the upcoming year. And the way I keep that in line is through the GTD weekly review, I have those goals in mind, and I basically focus on them every week, trying to update them. And regarding central purpose, essentially, I have a lot of different interests and activities, and it's happiness. It's just to be happy and what makes me the most happy. And over these past few years, it's been less financial and more ideological, since sadly I see the culture declining so quickly. So my activities have gone in that direction more than strictly financial. Plus, if I make a lot of money, they're just going to take it away from me anyway.
Right. So. Thank you. So then you would definitely second my recommendation of going to the GTD public seminar.
Yes, GTD, and I plan for Alex. And the one last thing I wanted to tell you, Pomodoro technique is something worth checking out. It's something where you focus for 25 minutes on an activity. You shut out everything. You use this like Pomodoro timer, and then you take a break for 5 minutes after that. So it just keeps you focused on whatever the task is at hand.
So Pomodoro, just like the pasta Pomodoro?
That's right. Exactly. Yeah.
Okay. Well, thank you very much, Robert, and thank you for calling in, and thank you for giving me insight into what's going on.
You're welcome.
Chat room very much.
Yeah,
next
sure.
week.
And everyone's saying Happy New Year to you guys.
Happy New Year, everyone. Tell them we're sad that we got cut off, but I wanted to let you finish talking about Pomodoro. They can't actually hear you right now. So go ahead.
Oh, I see. Okay.
It'll be on the recording, but go ahead and tell them about the Pomodoro in the chat room and tell them that we said Happy New Year to them as well. And we will we'll talk to everyone next week. So thank you, everyone, for the end of 2012. Don't let it go unheard. Thank you for sticking with us today, those of you who stuck with us through all of these bizarre technical difficulties. And thank you for sticking a little bit over time if you're listening to this now. We will see you in 2013. And I'm going to say that I hope I won't have any technical problems with the chat room, but I'm going to do something concrete to make sure that hope comes true, which is to not try to start a chat room on my iPad, because I'm pretty sure that's what happened. Not 100%. Thanks, everyone. Happy New Year. We'll talk next week. Bye.